From WGCU News, I'm John Davis. In his seminal work, The Immense Journey, author and anthropologist Lauren Isley penned the often cited quote, "If there is magic on this planet, it is contained in the water." That sentiment is certainly shared by News Press storyteller Amy Bennett Williams, who is just as likely to find magic in the palmetto scrub around her Alva homestead, exploring an old-growth cypress forest, or even in a rare encounter with a powerful bird of prey while walking along a creek bed, as she tells us in this week's essay.
A father told me a story once about digging in the yard with his little boy when in the loose dirt he saw a white egg about the size and texture of a vitamin E capsule. The man gently rolled it into the palm of his hand and called his son over to take a look. No sooner had the boy arrived than the egg shivered, split, and out wriggled a brand new lizard the size of a paper match. The handheld hatching was just amazing coincidence, the man later told me, but his little boy was dazzled. He'd always suspected his father was magic. Now he knew for sure. Of course, as the years passed and his father failed to work similar marvels, the child was disappointed time and again, which goes to show the folly of reading anything into random miracles. Yet the temptation remains, even for a diehard rationalist like me, who spent most of her adult life in Southwest Florida. That means I've had plenty of firsthand experience with an environment that strays unpredictably but regularly into the realm of magical realism. We're often surprised by unearthly light, sudden sweet-scented winds, and especially astonishing birds. The setting can be as mundane as a freshly scraped roadside ditch, where in the warm runoff, a chorus line of wrinkly-necked wood storks, bald heads just this side of pterodactyl, scissor steps over slurpee cups. Just downstage is a long-legged corps de ballet of egrets, ibis, herons, striding, stalking, loose-limbed jazz-walking through the tawny water. We have at-home visitations, too. Winter, a handful of painted buntings descend on our yard. These tiny, Tiffany-colored confections flutter around the bird feeder, then drop to the ground to pick up scraps, springing over scattered Hot Wheels like a pack of pint-sized fey angels. And then, for the first time in my life, I saw a great horned owl. My husband, our then toddler, and I were taking a midday walk in the hickory swamp on Peace Road, a singular piece of public land that, but for a few small placards declaring it 2020 property, looks private. To get in, we had to scramble through barbed wire because the county still leases it to a cattleman. We followed the creek bed, and the woods quickly closed overhead. The air cooled, moss, velveted trunks, and logs. In a clearing, we found a cypress graveyard, stumps as big around as banquet tables, cut off waist high. We were shouldering our way through the understory when a huge shadow passed above, then lit atop an ancient hickory. It was a winged thing the size of a bobcat. We froze. Disoriented by its sheer size, it took us a moment to realize it was an owl, a great horned owl. The bird regarded us with its unblinking golden glare as we gaped up. I knew they were big, but not this big. Could the baby see it? Yes, he was as rapt as we were. One of his favorite storybooks was about a family of owls. We stood stone still, hissing at each other in whispers, lest the owl spook and flee. But the bird, firmly perched, just shook itself loosely and began to preen in a leisurely way. Before long, a squad of jays buzzed into sight. The owl slowly turned toward them as they circled and scolded. The owl did nothing. Emboldened, the little birds dove at it like screechy deer flies. After a while, with something that looked awfully like weary resignation, the owl shrugged itself off the branch and dropped. When it caught itself and swooped up toward another tree, we gasped at its full wingspan, longer than the little boy was tall. The small birds disappeared, but we stayed below, marveling at the sight of this night creature in broad daylight, albeit daylight scrimmed and scumbled with leaf light. What was there to read into this visitation? How was it that a bird that had eluded me for more than 40 years showed up the first time we took the baby deep into the woods as if called? I just hoped the baby wouldn't give us credit for this magic, though it looked like we weren't going to have to worry about that. He had tired of the whole thing before we did and started fussing, which didn't faze the owl at all. And as we turned to leave and I craned for a last glimpse, the owl paused, gazed down at us, and then calmly looked into the dark green distance.